Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom for Friday, September 23rd. This is Gregory Mascari from beautiful Bozeman, Montana, where we're still enjoying beautiful 80-degree summer-like weather on this first day of autumn, here, autumn equinox. And I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of your busy lives to join us here today or on the replay. And the reason Robin and I started these regular weekly calls, it's kind of our way of paying it back, or really paying it forward, for all the amazing people we've been blessed to meet, the wisdom we've learned in over these years and decades. And it's certainly our intention with these Friday morning 30-minute of wisdom calls is to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, walks of life, and companies can come together and learn from some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and enlightened beings in the world today. And at this time, I'd like to turn 30 Minutes of Wisdom over to my partner in life and a very enlightened networker, Mrs. Robin Blank Mascari.
Thank you, Gregory. And thank you for all that you do. That makes things so much easier for me. And good morning, everyone. And thank each and every one of you for taking time out for yourself, taking time to learn and grow and share the great news and be part of our growing community with Enlightened Networking. It's just wonderful to see people coming from all different directions, people we know, people we don't know, and those of you that are sharing. So today, we have a fascinating topic with two amazing leaders and coaches. Our talk today is on positive accountability. We don't usually put those two words together, and you're in for a treat because this partnership has been together for over 30 years, and they complement each other beautifully. They've got corporate executive experience and decades in the field of leadership and coaching. So they are international coaching experts in direct sales and managing partners of the Ultimate Coach University. They're also certified trainers and providers of DISC, which is a communications profile, behavioral profile. And if I'm going to ask some questions, you guys, about that related to accountability, if that's okay. Also certified Franklin Covey coaches. They come with decades of experience. And I was blessed, Gregory and I were blessed, probably 5-6 years ago, to meet them on the phone as they were interviewing the two of us for a CD series. And instantly, we were both impressed. They were clear. They were focused. They had this huge heart. And I remember their tremendous wisdom in their questions. And remember that part, the questions. Clarity, focus, and it is ever since then, it's been a joy to work with them and be a student of theirs in several programs that they've put on in the last several years. And I know that every time I've been in one of their trainings, it wasn't just great content, but it was delivered with joy and practical applications. And I remember when we first started Enlightened Networking and we put out our first introduction, they were one of the first people to join. They are consummate students. And everyone who works with them says not just they are an amazing team, a great model of partnership, and they're adorable together. I smile when I just think of these two. And so it is my absolute pleasure to introduce Dana and Neil Phillips. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I love hearing your voices. So you guys picked this cool topic, and I know it's part of your coaching process. So could you share a little bit about what is positive accountability and why is that relevant today?
Well, positive accountability, I know, as you said, those are two terms that we usually don't put together. So let me just talk a little bit about that term in general. Accountability is really a commitment to inform, not necessarily a commitment to do or think, but to really inform somebody else or yourself down the road about your behaviors and activities. So in a sense, it's a reckoning. Positive or negative, that you're committed to. You're made a commitment to talk to somebody about what you've done and plan to do. Positive accountability would be the sort of accountability that you're happy to do or that you're willing to do regardless of the consequences. Oftentimes, and we see this time and time again as we work with leaders in direct sales when they're when they're first getting started, it's like somebody comes to them and says, I just can't figure out how to get this working. They say, okay, here's what I did. Here's what you have to go do. Now I'll talk to you next week. And what you've done is you've made them accountable to what you want. And positive accountability is a little bit different than that, because what you're trying to do is find out what they want to be held accountable to, and then you're going to focus on that as the key in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Positive accountability, a lot of positive accountability has to do with self-management and emotional intelligence, because it's not just what you're committing to do for that other person, but it's the recognition within yourself that you've made that commitment to talk to somebody and hold yourself accountable to something. So.
Wow. Well, thank you, Neil. Dana, excuse me. I am so sorry about that. Dana, do you want to add a little bit to that of why it's so relevant today?
Well, you know, I think Neil brings something really to the front that it seems like a misnomer almost, because most people take the word accountability and put some negative connotations with it, like, you know, if I don't do it, here's the consequences and that sort of thing. And while that's very real, it is relevant today, and Neil can speak to some of the studies that are done, but we just find so many people in the solopreneur position, and I know there are people on this line listening, you know, not really holding themselves positively accountable, but making themselves miserable by, oh, okay, well, I've got to do the things that successful people refuse to do, and not seeing as a positive. We see it with entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, who maybe are building their success team or perhaps beginning new hires and aren't sure exactly how to delegate and then delegate with positive accountability. And so it brings coaching into the entrepreneurial model. And then finally, you know, in network marketing, where it's a volunteer army, positive accountability is clearly going to work and support leaders to grow their team, to grow leadership, probably better than anything. But, Neil, I'd love, you know, if you just want to hop in and talk about a little bit about the studies and the neuroscience.
There is one other piece I want to mention here, which is from a leader standpoint, sometimes it's very difficult to figure out how to do accountability actions, because it's like, oh, well, this is what they're supposed to do. They didn't do it. I don't know how to talk to them about it without making them feel bad. And so we don't talk about with people about things. We drop that accountability out of our conversations. And so it's a key part, really, very relevant today to help people figure out, you know, this is what you committed to. Let me help you make your commitments. So that's a different sort of – that's the flip side of it about why it's important. Interestingly, one of the things that make us happiest – and there have been a lot of different studies on this but when you look in terms of happiness and blood flow and MRIs as well as some self-surveys, one of the things that makes us happiest is to have a challenge and meet it. And so part of what as coaches is helping people find that right amount of challenge so that they feel good about meeting that challenge. If it's too easy, it's like, yeah. If it's too hard, then they aren't going to meet it and they'll feel bad about not getting there. And so finding that place where they can be accountable to doing something and feel good about meeting that self-challenge is really a key part. And people feel good about doing that. And when they start to feel good, then they'll do it again and again and again. They start to feel good about other pieces of their life surrounding it. And so from a neurological standpoint, there's some great studies that really support the idea that meeting challenges, making challenges and meeting challenges is pretty important. In a sense, what you're doing is you're building some positive muscle memory in your brain so that you're willing to go out and try it again. You'll stretch because the last time you stretched, there was something very positive that happened. So that's really where that comes in. It also at a lower level really kind of anchors in that win. It felt good, and so you got to do it again and again and again. Right now I am really, and I'll be very transparent here, I'm really working on my physical health. And I have to keep telling myself that it feels better to lose weight than to eat that piece of cake. And so there's some positive accountability that comes up on some of those things like that. So it helps us anchor in what we're doing.
I love it.
And, of course, we build resilience along with that.
Well, with all of this, you know, whether people are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs in the field of direct sales, even working with a company, what I've noticed is the people that are most successful have a whole kind of a wardrobe of coaches, so to speak, coaches for the different dimensions of life, because this is the kind of thing that we can't do alone, right?
It's very hard to do it alone. We're willing to believe our own lies. Not that we're being, not that we're, I know that's kind of a harsh way of saying it, but, you know.
No, but it's true.
We're able to justify things to ourselves that we wouldn't think about saying to other people.
Right.
And so it's much better if there's somebody else outside of us that are accountability partners. But by finding that other person, we also build ourselves as an accountability partner because we feel good internally. So there's really a transactional piece that matches up between me and my coach on these sorts of things.
So the field of coaching, a lot of people don't even understand it. Some people, you know, are familiar with training coaches for athletic events, and now there's coaches in every dimension of life, and you guys train coaches. And I just, you know, I look at my life, and I don't know what I would do without the different coaches I have. And if I think if we look at the most successful people out there, they all have coaches. So how do people find the right fit? How do you start out on that journey to find the kind of coach that can use positive accountability and can help that muscle, that brain memory, you know, kind of snap into the healthy places?
Neil, do you want to talk about that, or do you want me to just kind of get
go ahead.
My soapbox for a little bit?
I'll let you handle this one.
Well, you know, really and truly, Robin, anybody can call themselves a coach. It's a relatively new profession, and it's not particularly regulated in the United States. There are some countries that are really becoming, you know, regulating, saying, hey, if it takes 600 hours of instruction to cut my hair, you better have some instruction to be able to coach me in my life decisions or career or my business. And so that clearly that profession is evolving. So in answer, you know, the thing for me that I think is really important is to check and see if the coach is not just certified but credentialed with a credentialing body. So for example, you could go and get your coach certification from my sister's next door neighbor school, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you've learned all of the right ways to do positive accountability and to engage the client and to hold the client as whole. You know, just so. But if that school is recognized by a credentialing body like the International Coach Federation, I think that's probably a good start. And so one of the things that they just did a global study on coaches, and one of the things that they discovered is that more and more people are becoming aware that they need to look for a credentialed coach. And I think that the figures have gone up. You know, and coaching is relatively new. Back in the 80s, goodness, if you had a coach, it was because, you know, in the corporate world, it was because you were messing up and this was like their last-ditch effort before they pink-slipped you. And coaching has certainly evolved so that there are different, like you said, so many different kinds of coaching, whether it's voice coaching or speech coaching or transition or career coaching or vision coaching or, you know, what we do is business coaching. There are just a variety of fields now of looking at people. Just to throw it out there because it's so fascinating to me, one of the majors in our school is salon coaching.
Really?
Actually, there's a growing body of coaches who are coaching stylists who spend a lot of time learning how to do hair, color hair, cut hair, but don't know how to run a business. They're very technically skilled, but, you know, oftentimes a salon coach is an independent that, you know, doesn't work for the company. It has their own chair. And so fascinating, you know, that's an emerging piece of coaching. Our expertise lies in direct sales coaching, you know, because that's where we grew up. But the skills and the fundamental things that we've learned in coaching would apply so that we absolutely coach entrepreneurs, we coach solopreneurs. And then just the last little soapbox thing, you're right. More and more people are getting a coach. Marshall Goldsmith, who's probably the most renowned coach in the world, he coached Michael Dell for a year.
Wow.
Lee Iacocca had a coach. You know, there are lots and lots of very successful individuals who recognize the need for coaching and particularly the need for the positive accountability.
Because we don't get that. You know, when I worked with the Seven Habits, you know, accountability and habits kind of have the same, not such a positive perception when, in fact, you know, they're just neutral words and how we use them. And I realized you guys were certified with Franklin Covey as coaches, and you also have a program called My Time Mastery. And when I talk to entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and people in direct sales and network marketing, time management seems to be a really serious challenge for people. And you know, you guys, we were trained in that same school that you can't manage time. And how do you support people in being positively accountable with your time program?
Well, as you said, time management is not about managing time. It's about managing ourselves and the way we use time. And so that's a real key in our minds to helping people change their time use habits. And so certainly positive accountability comes into that a lot. One of the hardest things we ever have to work with is to break the habits that we built, because that's where our mind memory is and our muscle memory is, and we settle into that space. And so if we want something different, we have to do something different, and that's where a coach comes in. Positive accountability is really based on three key tenets. Holding the client to what they want to do, in the way they want to do it, in the way they want to be held accountable. And that's really where time management comes into that. So if somebody says, my difficulty is that I get distracted, I'll start on Facebook just to check on things, and then, you know, an hour later I'm behind on my appointments. And that's not an unusual scenario, by the way.
That's for sure.
I know. It's easy. It's addictive, isn't it? So the question is, okay, so what do you want to do differently? Well, you know, I need to get off of Facebook. Okay. So what do you want to do differently? When you say I want to get off Facebook, that's a goal. What do you want to do differently? Well, I want to make sure that I meet my commitments before I get onto Facebook. Okay. So how can I help you do that? And so then we'll set up some pieces of accountability along the way that they're willing to do to help break that habit. And last question is, how can I make sure that you stick with your goal? And so that may be a matter of sending a daily email. It may be having them send me an email. We have one group that we're working with, I just love this, is they give themselves points for doing certain types of activities during the week. So there's no reward for the points, but when we get on the next call, they can tell how many points they got, and that just really, really makes them feel good to, you know, that, well, I got 9 out of 12, or I got 11 out of 12, or I got 8 out of 15, didn't have a very good week. So it's a way for them to start to measure some of that, and that's the way they wanted to be held accountable to the key activity changes that they were going through.
So what I'm hearing from both of you that I've loved from the moment I met you is the quality of the questions that you ask. And I just invite everyone to get connected with these guys on Facebook and on their blog, because, you know, questions seem to be one of the key components of being a good coach. And because you guys are certified trainers and providers of DISC, of DISC, an understanding different personality profiles, how does that play into the kinds of questions you ask? Because a lot of people don't even know what personality profiles are, so I kind of loaded up the question here.
That's okay. We, you know, it is fascinating. DISC has been around for a really long time, and it just, in the long and short things, it measures your communication style, which is behavioral, not necessarily your personality, which is more like Myers-Briggs. And so it is behavioral, so it can be adapted. And basically it measures people in four quadrants, and we're all a mixture of those quadrants, but we have one that tends to be our default style. That definitely plays in to the kinds of questions and the kinds of activities. You can imagine, because you're a little bit familiar with DISC, that the people who love the points and want it to be fun are those people who have that active and social communication style. They want it to be fun. They want to be able to count points. They
I know that one.
Exactly. You know, speaking right to you, where the person who maybe is very set in a plan might not want points but would just be very happy to be able to check it off on their list. And so I know there are people in the audience listening saying, I'm that person. I like having a list and checking it off. Done, done, done. And yet there is another group that might be very interested in only the results. And so as a coach, asking the kinds of questions is, what will that result look like? What outcome do you want? Is very important as you're holding people in positive accountability.
So you understanding the different personality behavioral styles, I should say behavioral, not personality styles, really assists in the kinds of questions you use as a coach to hold people accountable. Is that right? Am I getting
right.
it?
And yeah, exactly. And we, in fact, our school focuses a lot of time on how to coach to the different styles to be for them to be more effective in their own strengths, which kind of goes back to that positive accountability because it's coming from a place of building your strengths, not just fixing your weaknesses.
That will create, again, that
muscle memory. Yeah, I do too. I mean, it's like I would much rather work on my strengths than try to fix all my weaknesses.
Well, there's been a Neil, you're the guy who does all the research and studies, I think. There's been a lot of research from the Gallup organization on, you know, the operating from strengths. And, you know, the more I kind of look at and feel into your bios and where you're coming from, the kind of background you guys have, you have all the right resources to really refine how to work with people in the most effective way. Because a lot of people don't understand the different behavioral styles, and they could use a kind of a technique, but it makes so much more sense to do it from that perspective. So you guys have courses that and anyone could actually have their profile done, right?
Correct. And we also have programs where you can take your profile, and then we'll add to that some coaching, so we actually go into your profile, how you can be a more effective communicator.
I love it. Because, you know, I think accountability is where a lot of us have never been trained. You know, we have a team, we want to hold people accountable, but we get slippery, we get too nice. What would you, you know, for many of us out there in the field that don't have the training, can you give us, you know, some keys of how we can be more effective?
I would love to.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's the part that appeals to both of us is here, you know, walk away from this call with some practical things that I can actually
Great.
Go and use tomorrow, not just the theory. And so the first and foremost, and it's interesting because Gregory used the term when he introduced our call today, is creating a safe place. And I
mm-hmm.
think when we speak that language, if you are working with a team, whether it's your employees or your volunteer army, whether it's your downline, having a safe place that they feel that you've got their back, that you are truly interested in their success and committed to their success, that begins to create that what the International Coach Federation calls trust and intimacy. And when you are in a safe space, there's a high trust and a high intimacy. And so that is the first and foremost thing that we can do is to remember that, yes, our paycheck goes up and down based on our downline, or yes, the effectiveness of our company goes up and down based on, you know, the behaviors of other people. But to believe truly that they want to be successful can be successful. And
wow.
that You know, that's a huge mind shift for a lot of top people who are top performers because they're not sure that everybody has that. If you change your mindset about others, you totally begin to see them differently.
So it
that's
starts
the first
with
one.
How we hold others. Okay, keep going.
And then the second one, I think, is to really, and this is especially true for those of us who are drivers. There are a lot of people on this call who are real drivers. And so to remember that there is great value in celebrating progress and victories. There's real great value when we celebrate even the steps of progression. And let me give you a very practical example. I'm going to go out and talk to 30 people. Okay, great. Okay, good. You sure? Okay, good. But you know what? When are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Those are the positive accountability pieces. What might get in your way? Well, no, I'm determined. Okay, come back next week. And how are you going to talk to me? Well, we'll talk about it next week. I didn't make any calls. You know, for many people, that's a big sign of frustration. It's like they put a judgment on that person. And say, well, golly, you said you were going to. You must be out of your integrity. And so the coach comes in and creates the safe space and says, what happened? Out of curiosity, not what happened? Out of judgment.
Mm.
And then that becomes the positive accountability and a safe place. And so that the next time when they maybe lower their goal and say, I'm going to talk to 5 because that's more realistic, and they do 4 out of 5, we're going to celebrate the progress. Because telling somebody, go out and make calls, go out and go to business networking, marketing, you know, go out and do X, Y, Z, telling people over and over again and without action and without positive accountability, the person doesn't own it. And too often we become, you know, the ATM, the automatic telling machine.
So, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just if you see yourself dispensing, it's a really great place to stop and say, whoa, they know their life. They know their capabilities. And as coach then is to help them to, like Neil said, figure out what I want to do and how I want to be held accountable and the way I want to be held accountable. So I think those two pieces are really powerful in creating the space and then remembering to celebrate the victories. But, you know, I was thinking about this just from the standpoint of how we coach ourselves or how, you know, certainly how we coach others, but just even writing down the action steps that we're going to take. You know, we're all about goals, and I've heard on these calls, you know, write your goals down, and we've heard that. All of us have heard that. But it's not just the goals. It's writing down the actions and specifically having a clarity of action where the coach can come in. And after you've been coached a while, you begin to start to do that yourself. Now, there are probably some people, you know, who automatically write their action steps down. But it's not a to-do list in the sense of I'm going to do this, this, and this. It's these are the actions that are going to lead me to my goals.
So when you're talking about being held accountable and ways to be held accountable, you mentioned a few things, but I think a lot of people get stuck there because I remember asking lots of people, you know, how do you want to be held accountable? And people don't even know what to say. How do you help them?
Well, the first thing I do is put my hands on my mouth and let them think.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes we're so quick to fill in the silence.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And so just letting them process that and think about how they want to be. And I literally have counted, you know, because some people process more moderately. Some people talk before they think. Some people think before they speak. And, you know, think while they're speaking. I have great respect for those people. But truly, just closing my mouth and letting them come up with their own answer, what worked for them. And then if they really are, I don't know, so then I take them back again to the positive accountability, what has worked for you in the past when you have
great
been
question.
Successful at a project. How did the accountability look then?
That's a great question. I hope everyone takes that one to note, because when we look back at what did work in the past and how can we do more of that? Yeah. Because sometimes people don't want to be held accountable because they fear that judgment that you were talking about. But when there's a true coach that comes from that place of creating a safe place, then they know it's safe to share whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just add one thing real quick because I know we're getting to the end. A great phrase that works for me is that as a coach, I am responsible to you, but I am not responsible for you. And
that's
that puts
great.
The responsibility for the accomplishment on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, the question I oftentimes ask is, how can I support you this week? And that phrase of support really translates into accountability when you think about the answers that people give you, but it doesn't scare people away by saying, how are you going to be accountable to me this week? So how can I support you is get you the same result as how are you going to be accountable, but it has a whole different emotional flavor to it.
I love that, Neil. The emotional flavor, and people may or may not realize it, what a powerful distinction it is.
Right. Once you've created that trust and intimacy, that safe space for the person, you can do things like hold up the mirror. Okay. So last week, Robin, you told me you were going to go out and have 10 sponsoring conversations. What happened? And Robin says to me, pick a number, Robin.
4.
4. How do you feel about that?
Well, too good.
Okay. What do you want to do differently? So we really are not dwelling on the fact that you did 40% or 4 out of 10. What we're doing, you know, but as the coach, my question is going to be different depending on your answer, isn't it?
Yes.
Because
yes.
You just told me you didn't feel good about it, so now we're going to examine what do you want to do differently. If you'd said, well, I feel good because I had this, 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 and this.
I got 4 great people.
That's right. And so, you know, we're going to celebrate that progress. And we're going to say, you know, when we set the next action, I might say, what might get in your way of accomplishing what you've set out to do this week? So now we do a little contingency planning in the positive accountability.
That's a great question. What might get in the way so we can really kind of handle those things ahead of time? Well, you're right. We are getting, it's amazing how quickly our 30 minutes of wisdom goes.
It sure
so
does.
Any other final comments from you guys that you want to share this morning?
Thank you for having us.
Oh,
yeah,
joy.
We really enjoyed it. And I think if this kind of topic really appeals to you, probably there's a part of you that's calling out to be a better coach. And definitely, we'd love to support you in anybody in becoming a better coach.
Thank you, thank you. And just so everyone knows, you can reach Dana and Neil at ultimatecoachuniversity.com and teamconnections.org. And the time, if time is the work you want to work on, mytimemastery.com. And I was thinking about inviting Roger Merrill to come on our program.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know Roger, but his wife Rebecca actually wrote the Seven Habits book, and he embodies the four-quadrant time management system better than anyone I've ever met. So we'll see what we can do there. I've invited Stephen M.R., and I want to thank you guys so much for being with us today. It's always a gift, and these guys are a partnership and a team, and, you know, and how many years have you guys been married?
38.
Wow. What an inspiration to work together and all those dimensions, so you know that, you know, not a lot of people could pull that one off. So they truly, truly embody what they teach and what they talk about, and they live it. So I want to thank you guys so much for being with us. And next week we have Alan Fine on, and Alan's book has a foreword from Stephen Covey, and his book is called You Already Know How to Be Great, A Simple Way to Remove Interference and Unlock Your Greatest Potential. And Stephen Covey said a truly landmark book on helping yourself and others journey to greatness. Alan, I was certified as a coach with Alan. He does a coaching program on high performance using the SPORT model, which is quite fascinating. And he has a wonderful model called GROW that he's taken into the business world. And again, the websites. I just heard them. Okay, and I'm going to turn things back to Gregory to complete our call. And again, thank you all for being with us, and thank you for sharing our growing community of Enlightened Networking. So, Gregory, back to you.
Well, thank you, Robin, and a special thanks to Dana and Neil. Gosh, I tell you, I'm feeling the prompting to revisit my DISC assessment and restart some of my coaching regime. We could all rise up a little better. We all need that little nudge that coaches can so well provide. So thank you for being an inspiration to all of us. And I want to remind everyone that this call will be available for 24/7 replay for the next 7 days at our replay number 712-432-1085. And the PIN number, same PIN you used to dial in here this morning, 705-5522. I'm also very excited to tell you that our resource center of our EnlightenedNetworking.com website, with all 19 of the weekly calls we've had since we started these 30-minute of wisdom calls back in May of this year, are now loaded, archived, and ready for 24/7 free online listening for everyone. So we hope you'll enjoy accessing and learning from all of our calls and all of our enlightened speakers and sharing them with others, and continuing to pay it forward. If you dialed in today and you haven't registered yet to receive the notices about upcoming calls and speakers, our weekly calls, we invite you to do so at enlightenednetworking.com. So with that, we're going to end this portion of our call. So please stand by, and then we're going to ask Neil and Dana to stand by and for a little bit of Q&A. So this officially ends this portion of our call. Thanks, everybody.